Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to Pride Month. It's June 2nd. As we record this, I'm wearing my ace shirt, which is very cool. It is cool. I should get my pin somewhere in here. Just for you. Just for the benefit of you.
I enjoy it. I feel like I get a show every time of like whatever seasonal thing is happening or topic we're talking about. You come dressed.
Whatever. I'm super into at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Well... unfortunately, this isn't a happy episode necessarily, but it's a just updates on some things that are happening in the queer community. It's not complete by any means because a lot is happening. And we've talked about some of those things on this very show, and I'm sure we'll come back and return to them as things continue to change. So just content warning, like, we're not going to go too in-depth in anything, but if you're just kind of tired of hearing about, like, homophobic politicians and people passing bad laws, then I'm with you. I understand. But we're mostly talking about that and some of the things within companies that are happening and then some of the things that are happening with censorship. So just to put that out there. Also, because things are rapidly changing, the date is June 2nd, 2023. Just want to say that. So it's going to be about almost a week before you hear this. And I know things will probably have changed in that time.
Right.
Yes. But we wanted to start with the wave of anti-drag laws that are happening. So in April 2023, Tennessee became the first state to ban drag shows in public spaces, although drag was never used in there specifically, but that's really what they were going for. At least 14 other states introduced similar measures. From Time, quote, language across the numerous bills is similar to the Tennessee bill, which prohibits, quote, adult cabaret performances in public spaces where minors could watch. In Tennessee's bill, adult cabaret is defined as adult-oriented performances that include, quote, male or female impersonators. It redefines drag art as a morbid and shameful interest in sex, which is an actual legal term that they used.
Ugh.
Yeah. The day before it was passed, it was blocked for being, quote, too broad by a federal judge who is a Trump-appointed judge. So some people are taking that as like there's some kind of hope here. Huh. I don't know.
That's interesting. I know we'll talk about it later, but yeah, several Republican politicians have actually done good things or unexpected things that I've been very surprised by. So it feels like there's a glimmer in this madness. Yeah. Just, I'm going to cling to that glimmer. Okay. So a local drag theater group, Friends of George, filed a suit against it. From The Guardian, they said, The law prohibits a drag performer wearing a crop top and miniskirt from dancing where minors might see it, their complaint notes, but does not prohibit a Tennessee Titans cheerleader wearing an identical outfit from performing the exact same dance in front of children. Which I was going to ask, like, have they done the same kind of thing for any, like, cis hetero entertainment?
Mm-hmm. Well, they brought up wrestling as well.
Yeah.
That this kind of thing that they're talking about banning happens in wrestling. So, no, they haven't, but the conversation.
Any sport, volleyball, mm-hmm. soccer uniforms, like they don't have crop tops, but they often short shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So the ACLU of Tennessee tweeted, "We are concerned that government officials could easily abuse this law to censor people based on their own subjective viewpoints of what they deem appropriate, chilling protected speech and sending a message to LGBTQ Tennesseans that they are not welcomed in our state."
And this also speaks to how these laws could be used to target trans people for simply existing in the face of so many other attacks they're already under, including bans on gender-affirming care and trans people's rights in general. So, like, the same day, this governor passed a law banning gender-affirming care. So some people think this is sort of like, I mean, it is very dangerous, absolutely. But some people think it's also kind of distracting from that, too. But yeah, after the bill passed, photos surfaced of Governor Bill Lee, who is the one who signed it, doing drag in high school. One of his spokespeople said in response, "The bill specifically protects children from obscene sexualized entertainment. And any attempt to conflate this serious issue with lighthearted school traditions is dishonest and disrespectful to Tennessee families."
Wow, the hypocrisy. Uh-huh. This is just for fun.
I know. Right. This is for fun.
Are we
fun.
Making fun of women, most likely? Yes. Are we demeaning women in a way? Yes. But this is harmless. Not sexist or
it's not disrespecting
not
Tennessee families.
Oh God.
And it is part of, like, we've talked about this too, the really gross grooming argument where that protecting the children line comes up a lot, including it is used by organizations like Gays Against Groomers, which is an unfortunate thing I had to research doing this, which they are posted people in drag and they said, quote, "They directly opposes the sexualization and indoctrination of children. This includes drag queen story hours, drag shows involving children, the transitioning and medicalization of minors, and gender theory being taught in the classroom."
Gender theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know we're not supposed to laugh, and I know this is really bad, but the way they phrase things is so absurd, and people can take this all different ways. So at this point, talking about gender and having people talk about heteronormative ideas is gender theory. So
right.
You best not be talking about that.
Right. A lot of people brought that up too, that, like, going back to that hypocrisy of, like, well, you talk about intersection people all the time, and that's not, like, outside of gender theory.
If
quotes.
You're teaching women to be the wife or the women career focus, that's mm-hmm. a gender theory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what they want to promote.
Yep, exactly. And it goes hand in hand with what we've been seeing with book banning, which we talked about in a previous episode, and we will discuss a little bit more towards the end. And some of these laws that we're seeing specifically call out promoting obscenity, which is essentially just advertising. So one of the big things we've seen from this is so much fear and uncertainty that companies or venues won't host any drag events anymore because they don't know.
Right. I believe Department of Defense typically had a drag show yearly, and they canceled it this year, if I remember correctly, during Pride Month.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of concerns that a lot of Pride events are going to get canceled because of these laws. And they, I mean, the serious consequences. Some of the prison sentences in them are up to 10 years in prison. The person would be registered as sex offender and fines of up to $20,000. And then that's also going along with the venue facing fines and things like that. There has been several celebrities have spoken out about it. I know Lizzo was a really big, came out against it. And then I wanted to include this because it goes along with what we've been talking about with religion. So Nebraska's has a proposed anti-drag legislation. So here's a quote about it from Time. The bill was later amended by Senator Megan Hunt to prohibit children from participating in Bible studies, church camp, or other religious programs. Quote, the legislature finds that there is a well-documented history of indoctrination and sexual abuse perpetrated by religious leaders and clergy people upon children.
It's true. It's true. Let's talk about the fact that the Virgin Mary was supposed to be 13 or 12. 12 or 13.
Oh, my gosh.
When she had Jesus. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, wow.
And this is from The Guardian, and we've talked about this before. Last year, the Southern Baptist Convention released a list of over 700 of their ministers accused of sexual abuse, with many of the ministers in Tennessee. And that's just one denomination. There's no record, not a single documented instance of a child ever being harmed or abused at a drag show. Statistically speaking, children are far safer at a drag queen story hour than at church. Yet we aren't attempting to legislate whether parents can take children to church. How is this protecting children? And like we talked about before, a lot of the grooming comes within the church.
Right, right. And this, the people they interviewed within this article, it goes on to bring up gun violence and like the things we've seen in Tennessee and around mass shootings and how, despite that, this governor, Tennessee governor, recently signed a permitless carry bill. Even though, like, they also went into so many of these things we talk about, we have all of these polls that indicate people are on the opposite side. So people don't want, like, the banning of, right, of drag shows. People don't want people being able to carry guns without a permit. Like,
right,
this is going against the will of the people they're supposed to represent.
And the amount of children that have died just from old folks, and I'm saying old folks, being scared that people are in their driveway or walking next to or going near, and mm-hmm, the amount of good Christian folks are the ones that's shooting and mm-hmm getting away with it.
Yep. Yep.
And I hate it. We just keep saying that at the end of all of this.
It's very frustrating.
It's just the theme.
It's frustrating. Mm-hmm.
So there is a history of this. NPR has a good breakdown. As early as 1863, San Francisco had a law banning someone from being in public if they are wearing clothing different from what is typically associated with their legal or assigned gender. These laws were used as a way of control, not only of gender identity and performance, but if you were arrested, then you had a criminal record that could make it really difficult to obtain jobs. And I was going to say that about the sex offender registry.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a good idea, but oftentimes some of it is good and some of it is just a witch hunt and some of it is just going after marginalized communities. And I say right. this as a former law enforcement kind of on the outskirts of law mm-hmm. enforcement and seeing what these do, like it's targeting people. Don't get me wrong. True pedophiles, child molesters, who are mostly from the church and cis hetero men, need to be known. But mm-hmm. what we see more often than not, especially if they do this with the anti-drag laws, they are targeting for a reason.
Right. And so much of this is incredibly infuriating too, because I mean, at one time, women couldn't wear pants. Like, mm-hmm. it's just this whole idea of, like, what's typically associated with their legal or assigned gender.
Right.
That's, like, stuff that changes and that we kind of made up.
Like, completely made up.
Yeah, that's the whole kind of performance of gender that sort of... But it's not everyone agrees on what that is. So that just... That makes me mad. And as I said, there are a lot of worries about Pride parades getting canceled. I saw a story about it today. In Florida, where they don't think they're going to be able to do it because right. they're worried about this. Yeah, which it's, I kind of got torn in my head about it because it's one of those things where I'm like, this is not the biggest issue. A lot of the stuff we're talking about is just part of a bigger targeting of the queer community, and especially trans people. And so it's like tragic, like a Pride parade gets canceled, especially because of these things. But there are, it's just... I don't want that to be the only headline we're taking from this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I think it comes back to the point that it took a violent event for pride parades and things to come about. So it's not just like, it's a small thing. It took a violent event for this to come out. It was born from the Stonewall riot. And we need to have that conversation about, like, this is not about showing off, which we have talked about before, that I had a discussion with my own parents who at one point in time seemed okay with the queer community and kind of accepting of it. And they're like, okay, cool. And then this rhetoric came back as of recently, and I got the, why do they have to put it in our face? Why do they have to have a parade? And I'm like, you don't even know when it is. Tell me when is it? So why is it, how's it in your face? But literally coming back to this, in this narrative of like, they're just trying to show off. I'm like, no, they're celebrating because they had to fight to get to this point. It is dangerous because this is a silence and this is going against the rights of individuals in general.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it is super important. I don't want to make it, because a lot of queer people feel very isolated. And so when you have a moment like that, where you kind of get to meet other queer people and you get to be proud and have those conversations, that is no small thing.
I will say it's gotten too corporate. Like when you go to a pride parade, everyone is themed like AT&T. Like, what the hell does that have to do?
Well, that's one of the big like conversations about it, is that it's kind of gotten away from which we are going to talk about in a second, actually. And I did read it. I wanted to include one other thing from The Guardian, where they were talking to an owner of a theater company in Tennessee, I believe, because they were making the point like, this impacts non-queer folks too, apart from it being a human rights thing that you should care about. But also, here's the quote: can we still produce Peter Pan with a female Pan? Can we do Mrs. Doubtfire? Is it okay for us to put on Shakespeare the way it was traditionally performed? But also, I have a feeling it is going to be very specifically targeted when they enforce it and when they don't.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. But yeah, let's talk about the corporate aspect you were discussing, because we have seen a lot of company backlash, and I've seen several articles that have made the point, because this is also, you know, I feel like a lot of times these take up a lot of space, and here I am talking about it, but I think it's interesting in that a lot of the articles I've read had said, this just shows how toxic and how much backwards we're going, because this didn't used to be kind of such a big flashpoint for companies. Companies could usually have something for Pride Month, and they didn't experience as much backlash as they are now. So I do want to say, like, at the top of this, it is weird to me, companies trying to cash in on Pride. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, I guess these aren't sponsors. I don't necessarily support them. But yeah, as someone who works for a big company, you and I talk about this all the time because we get requests like this all the time, not just for Pride, like for every, like whatever the month is, we get a request about it. And we're always like, well, what, like back it up. What are you just saying these things? Like what, give us some kind of, because a lot of times they'll say like, we're donating to this. And I'm like, how much are you donating? How often are you donating? Like, and then we never hear back usually.
Right. And then just looking at the track record and you realize, yeah. Oh, they play both sides. Yeah. That's not cool either.
Right. So at the end of the day, these are companies. They are looking to make money. They are not consistent. They often donate to all kinds of opposing things.
Right.
So they're not allies. They're just not. But okay. They could do a lot better. I'll say right. That. And let's start with Bud Light. I know it's old news now. You've all heard about it. But Bud Light faced a huge backlash after sending trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney a can of beer with her face on it. And she showed it during an Instagram post. It was a very typical Instagram post.
She wasn't even an endorsement. Like she really wasn't making really much money other than TikTok money.
No, it's like, it was just such a like, oh yeah, there you go. It's a normal video.
The amount of people throwing out cans of beer, like, you already bought it, dude. Do you really think that's doing something?
Right.
Maybe not knowing that Anheuser-Busch is a giant company that right. owns most of the beers that you're drinking. So calm yes. down.
And like a lot of other stuff too.
Right.
They own a lot.
And what's so funny is this did not make any, I don't think, any of the liberal people going, I have to go buy Budweiser. Like that wasn't a thing. Like that didn't. We were like, no. Okay, moving on.
No, no. The whole thing is so ridiculous and it's so performative and it's so incredibly a waste of time. And yeah, there was like all of these videos that were getting posted of people shooting beer. Yeah.
Which is a thing, by the way. We had a local brewery that did that because they got complaints about their beer. And so they were mad and they shot up their beer with AKs. And we're like, what? Why do this?
Why? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And honestly, though, the biggest thing that we should talk about with this is the fact that Dylan Mulvaney was berated with so much harassment just because she was thankful that someone noticed her. Like, that's the end of the story. And yeah. she has been, like, I think she went off social media for a while because she had so many death threats and doxing and going after her. But Budweiser gave no shits.
No, they didn't. And that is an unfortunate trend we see a lot. And as you said, you can make money on TikTok. And so that is like a financial, I mean, obviously an emotional harm. But right. a financial harm. And it is a harm that impacts an entire community who is witnessing this. And it was incredibly disheartening, too, because the company, then they released a statement and they said they, quote, never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people, and released a very Bud Light, I'll say, like, generic America commercial. That was it was like embarrassing how hard they were trying to be like, we're America for everybody. Clearly you're not.
You're not if you're shaming and you're ashamed because you sent a beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the thing too, is like, I read a really good thread about how this is an example of how clearly, like, this whole, like, we never intended to be a part of a discussion that divides people. That they just want to like get the credit, but didn't stop to think of this is what a queer person faces every day. Mm-hmm. And so then they get some of this backlash and like, oh no, retreat, retreat. And the thing is, the company, because they backtracked, now they've like pissed off everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. they reported they'll up their U.S. marketing budget 3 times to make up for the loss of revenue caused by this, which again is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And now let us talk about what is happening with Target. So in May, Target removed or moved items to the back some of their Pride line, particularly around trans folks, because they actually had like 200 items or something in certain Southern stores because of confrontations and threats that they reported were being experienced by their employees, like things getting turned over, yelling, all that kind of stuff. The statement was very vague. It was issued days after the CEO spoke about inclusivity. And the big target of it, of the ire, was something called the tuck-friendly bathing suit, which was supposed to be for trans people. And there's a lot of disinformation and misinformation around it, with conservative pundits claiming it was targeted towards kids. It wasn't. That is the story that got told and passed around, and then people got so angry about it and were focusing about it. And then, of course, after this happened, activists expressed their frustration that instead of targeting bad customers, they kind of just gave in and removed the products.
And a lot of the products were from small businesses, which was a big thing that Target was trying to say that they are a part of as well, at bringing in small businesses. And instead, they f***ed everyone over, not just the queer community, but the small businesses that they are so proud about including.
Right. Yeah. And some of the designers reported they were getting so many death threats, they were glad when their stuff got removed, but they should have had support.
Right.
From Target.
Right.
It's just, it shouldn't be a thing. And it, like, right. I was saying, it's so very corporate to want to cash in on something without taking the time to understand it and just conveniently bowing out.
Right.
When you can. And it's another example of violent extremists controlling the narrative with things like abortion as well. And it's disheartening, too, because Target does have a history of taking steps to be inclusive. Right after a lot of the bathroom bans were happening in 2016, they like went out of their way to make sure, like, no, we're going to have these bathrooms. And they have been, because of that, the target, pun, I guess, I didn't mean to, of threats before, which isn't right. Like, people shouldn't be threatened. I'm not saying, like, a workspace shouldn't be safe at all, but it's just, I feel like we're not punishing the right people, or we're not taking the right steps to make it so that's not the case for anyone.
Right. I mean, when it comes down to when you see content like this, and I would like to see the statistics, especially when it's online trolling, how often there are bots or one person doing 10 different usernames, because we know the narrative is a majority of people don't care. Like, even if they are probably bigots or homophobic, they don't get on the computer. Like my parents, who would be what I would call homophobic, they don't touch the computer. My sister, my brother, not to Target. They complain on Facebook, sure. But they don't go, you know what I mean? That takes a long time. I've never met one person in my conservative lifetime that actually went and did this. So I'm really wondering who is the one that are complaining, honestly. Mm-hmm. As well as the fact that I understand you want to protect your employees. But like you said, this is the easy way out. Instead of having... knowing that you are a private business, that you can escort these people out real quickly. Real quickly.
Yeah, and once again, as you said, they f***ed up because now that everybody's mad.
Everybody's mad. Because the conservatives are not coming back to say, I forgive you. That's not a thing they do.
No, and now queer people are just people who have, like, queer people in their lives are like, well, now I don't feel like I'm supported here. And it's ridiculous. I say it again, because other companies who probably don't have great track records either, we all shop at places where we don't necessarily agree with their politics.
Right.
All of us. But now, like, we're going to other places that, who knows, but at least their queer stuff is still there.
Right.
Oh,
I think Walmart Walmart, who I don't shop there at all, but I think they actually have their stuff.
That's what I kept seeing. And I'm not saying like that's good or right at all, but it's just...
Right, because they're just cashing in as well, but at least they're not backtracking, I guess.
It's just a mess. It's just such a mess. Which, speaking of, oh my gosh. All right. We got to talk about this whole thing that's going on with Disney and DeSantis, which I just saw a headline update today about it. So this is wildly changing. And I'm going to condense it because it's like several years in the making, actually. So after pressure from consumers and employees, and what I gather is just plain annoyance at DeSantis's attempts to control and censor them, Disney announced that it wasn't cool with the Don't Say Gay bill censoring discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in the classroom. And there has been so much legal back and forth about this. Allegedly, then Disney CEO Bob Chapek signed a statement protesting the bill and called DeSantis to express his concerns. A few days later, DeSantis released this statement: "Woke Disney is now echoing Democrat propaganda and falling for the corporate media's phony hysteria over a Florida bill that sensibly prohibits K through third graders from being indoctrinated with transgenderism and R-rated lessons about sexuality." In response, Chapek announced he'd pause all political donations in Florida and released a statement to employees who had long been calling for the company to do more. Quote, "You needed me to be a stronger ally in the fight for equal rights, and I let you down. I am sorry." So this was in part due to a report that found that Disney had donated thousands, not only to DeSantis, but other anti-LGBTQ plus politicians in Florida. So employees, I think we talked about this when it happened, like they were protesting, walking out. And yeah, Disney cast members staged walkouts after that statement, due to Chapek's lack of action. Some employees staged daily walkouts and creators reported being censored. I believe we talked about that in Turning Red, because they said they had a more explicit queer storyline that they had to take out. A few months later, the Florida legislature voted to end the, quote, "special districts put into place before 1968, including one that gives Walt Disney World Resort essentially its own government during their special session." Now, here I want to say of note, I do not know if any company should have this, but it was clearly an act of political retribution. All right. And in 2023, DeSantis passed a bill changing the name of this district and appointing a 5-person oversight board of directors to it. However, the current members at the time signed a development deal with the company to give it a max developmental power for 30 years. And they invoked some kind of King Charles.
Oh, yeah. So they went after it by saying, as to the old monarchy, that King Charles, the current one that just got inducted as the king after his last descendant dies, and then 30 years after that. So right now he has grandkids that are infants and toddlers. Yep. And probably more kids will be on the way. Let's just be real honest. So they have a, because like, when the grandkids get married, he'll have more descendants. So essentially never ending.
Yep.
Of course. If we remember correctly, the board of directors, the original members were voted in, I believe. And this one was uprooted and he appointed, which is called a dictatorship or fascism.
Yeah.
Anyway, So DeSantis' board is terrifying. This is his cronies, his lackeys, all the things. Here's something from CNN. "The governor also appointed the CEO of a right-wing ministry and the founder of the right-wing activist groups, Moms for Liberty, horrifying, which the governor has supported to transform local school boards. Board member Ron Perry, CEO of the Gathering USA Ministry, was captured in a since-deleted YouTube video suggesting tap water has turned Americans gay."
Yep.
This is not to harp on Florida, because I know things are changing. Good for you, Jacksonville, bringing in a Democratic mayor. Good for you. Proud of you. She's still a politician, though. But all that to say is, this kind of like, you see the whole like, yeah, Florida used to be that state that had all the ex-cons, right? All the cons at the beginning of when it was like the 13-member union. That makes sense. I'm going to get yelled at by somebody from Florida.
I saw a whole bit about this where somebody yelled at a comedian. Not yelled, but was like, why do we always make fun of Florida? Anyway.
To be fair, I think the majority of Floridians are not like this. That no. Much like Georgia, they have done really well in butchering the Voting Rights Act and therefore being able to put what they want and trying to dictate the results that they want. So I do note that. Floridians, we love you still. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, DeSantis, in this escalating fight, did threaten to put a prison next to Disney World, amongst other things. Also, he got married in Disney World, by the way, just to put that out there. So, yes, he put into place this council of very conservative people after he officially dissolved the Randy Creek District, which was the original district. However, yeah, Disney had found a way to effectively make them powerless. It's still going back and forth, though. Because DeSantis ordered an investigation, Disney filed a lawsuit against DeSantis in April 2023, alleging he was engaging in a, quote, targeted campaign of government retaliation and was violating their First Amendment rights. Then DeSantis' install board sued Disney back, saying they, quote, had no choice but to respond. I know.
I'm sorry. That is wow.
It was basically like, well, she hit me first.
It's like, I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off me sticks to you. Like, that's essentially what just happened, right?
Yes. And then Disney canceled plans for a $1 billion campus in Orlando that I think was going to be used to, like, for animation for movies. From the New York Times, quote, it would have brought more than 2,000 Disney jobs to the region, with 120,000 as the average salary, according to an estimate from the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity. Though, did want to say, note, some of the employees were not happy about the potential of being relocated, because a lot of them were going to come from California, I believe. And some people quit because they didn't want to be relocated. So, and this was also they wanted to make this change so the company could benefit from the state's tax credit. And then California officials called on Disney to build the campus there and was like, the workers are already here.
It's a bidding war.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to make sure because who's to say if the jobs would have gone to people in Florida, I guess is what I'm saying. But then, because this has to get even more ridiculous, North Carolina introduced a bill targeting at getting Disney to relocate. It was called the Mickey's Freedom Restoration Act. Still, as of now, Disney is set to invest $17 billion in Central Florida over the next 10 years. Disney is also set to host the, quote, largest LGBT plus conference in the world beginning in September. People have expressed concerns about vacationing in Florida now because of this. And the NAACP issued a travel advisory recently. And I do also want to say, like, I really don't like DeSantis. I want to be 1,000% clear on that. But I also don't want to paint Disney in, like they don't have the best history in this. Right. Like, they're still a company that is trying to make money. A lot of what's happening here is because of the consumers and employees pushing. So just to keep that in mind. Some people are saying that this whole thing is kind of Disney trying to cover falling profits and massive layoffs. I don't think that's true. I'm sure that might be part of it.
That's the conspiracy theory that conservatives is not really because.
Right.
He's making a stand.
Right. And it's so frustrating too, because I mean, we could harp all day about the hypocrisy we're seeing over and over again, but for a party and a politician who's constantly like, you know, leave corporations alone, privacy, like, can you imagine he's trying to install his own people to control a company,
right?
Like
a $1 billion company, that's international company.
Right. Stunning hypocrisy.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. All right, I did want to do a quick update on the Don't Say Gay bill, because it has been updated to extend to 12th grade now. In April 2023, it was extended from AP, quote, "The rule change would ban lessons on sexual orientation and gender identity from grades 4 through 12, unless required by existing state standards or as part of reproductive health instruction that students can choose not to take. That's the time when students are becoming aware of their sexuality." So really digging in the heels. I do want to say, kind of like what we talked about too with the book banning episode, there has been a lot of instances of young people protesting, staging walkouts for not being able to fly pride flags. Like, so that's heartening to see, but this is very upsetting and horrifying. There was a story that came out related to that about how ridiculous and confusing all of this is.
Right, yeah. And they're still talking about all the aftermath. But a Florida teacher was investigated after showing the Disney film Strange Worlds to fifth graders because of its inclusion of a gay character. The teacher claimed she showed it because it was relevant to her curriculum on ecosystems. The investigation was recently closed, and the teacher had all the necessary forms signed beforehand. She expressed fear at the uncertainty of the environment, and the parent who reported her, Shannon Rodriguez, reported her to Florida state officials for violating Don't Say Gay. A petition for her removal from the local school board garnered 16,000 signatures over 2 weeks. She said at the school board meeting, "You showed a movie that wasn't sanctioned at school material, thus stripping the innocence of my 10-year-old.
It's a PG movie.
Yeah, Disney movie, PG cartoon that had a character. Not talking about being gay, necessarily being in a gay relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just being gay. That was just there.
Yeah.
I know that the teacher has fired back at this as well, and has been all over social media talking about it and news. I did also see just recently a veteran who was hardcore veteran came against all of the school board, talking about how he had fought fascism during mm-hmm. his time in the military, and now he's having to fight it in the schools and in Florida today,
mm-hmm.
which is good to see that people are standing up for this. Yeah. And again, I think that much like Georgia and many of the South, Florida is not as heavily in favor of things like this. This is a political stunt. We knew it was because DeSantis wants to compete against Trump, which is a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. But because of this, because they're the loudest, it does seem like this is the majority of Florida, and that's not true.
Right, and that's something we also discussed in the book banning one. And that woman that we mentioned that was appointed to the council DeSantis's Council of Moms for Liberty. Like, it's a organized effort done by not that many people, but they've been very effective at organizing and getting people in rooms and making these scenes and being like very distracting. And I also, the teacher said she didn't realize that the rule had changed. And she also didn't really think about like the gay character being in there. So that's just an example of how confusing all of this is. And a final note before we move on about this, Kat, super fan, super listener Kat, wrote in recently expressing their frustration around a politician doing something similar where they were, but kind of on the flip side, where they were saying like, we could do this kind of pride event, but we really shouldn't have a pride parade because the atmosphere, the environment is not correct for it. So kind of being like, I super support you, yeah, but not backing it up at all and trying to appease with, well, what about this? This should be enough. You don't need anything else. And not listening to all of the complaints from the citizens who were saying like, no, we want to have a pride parade. Like, this is not. And then the politician getting angry and saying, essentially, like, you're asking for too much. Like, I'm doing my best. So that's also, we've been talking a lot about companies, but politicians absolutely do it too. And then finally, I wanted to end with, I would say this is kind of an up note. I don't know. But there's an article came out that a couple of you listeners have written in about this. And I thought it was really interesting about how during the pandemic, you have found your identity, or you have like realized like, oh, I actually identified this way. It turns out you are not alone. So this article was talking about why that might be. And they were saying things like taking time to stop and think, not being distracted by socialization or commutes, being able to hear, quote, the quiet voice, to face things that you've ignored. A lot of the people they interviewed said, it's not like I was in denial. It's more like I just had never taken the time to hear that quiet voice. A lot of things around reflection and introspection. The question I had, who are you performing for? I had that a lot during the pandemic of like, well, who was this for all along? But also being online more during quarantine and connecting to others like you, which was part of a larger trend. They made sure to say like, there's no actual data on this. This is just a lot of people reporting it. But it was also kind of a trend that was happening ever since we have gotten more online and we have been able to make those connections. Some people were talking about fear around death and not wanting to die about without being honest about who you are, without thinking about what do you really want out of life. And then a lot of people reported kind of this internalized ageist understanding that coming out is only for young people. And once you reach a certain age, like it's too late, especially if they had like a homophobic family or something. So I just thought that was really fascinating, especially because we've gotten several throughout the pandemic. A lot of you have written in about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just something to think about. yes, I know this wasn't the easiest episode, but we have to talk about this stuff. And we do have a lot of fun content around the queer community coming out. So
right.
I hope everyone has a happy, lovely, safe Pride. And let us know what you're doing or if there's anything else we should talk about, any resources we should shout out. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff Mom Never Told You. You can also find us on YouTube, and we have a Tee Public store. You can check some stuff out. We only have a couple of designs on there right now, but some more stuff is coming. We also have a book you can pre-order. It's at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee Sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.